He nodded absently. He had stopped listening. He reached up to the spot on his chest where the whistle, Scarlet's tooth, and the Aegil usually hung, but didn't find them.
"We have to get out of here. We have to get to Zed. Right now, before anything else happens. I need Zed's help. Where is Scarlet's tooth? I have to call her. Where's my sword?"
"All of our things are in the spirit house." He scrubbed his hands over his face, thinking, then combed his fingers through his hair.
"All right."
His solid gaze came to her eyes.
"I'll go get the tooth and call Scarlet, and get our things together, get them ready to leave."
He gently squeezed her upper arm. "You go to Westland and put on your wedding dress. While we wait for Scarlet to come, we can be married. We'll leave when Scarlet gets here." Kissed her cheek. "We will be married, and we'll be in Aedendrill with Zed before dark. Everything will be all right, you'll see. Everything will be all right. I'll find out what I did wrong and fix it. I promise."
She put her arms around his neck.
"We will fix it," she corrected.
"Together. Always together."
He laughed quietly in her ear.
"Together. I need you. You light my way."
She slipped away from him and looked at him sternly.
"Well, I have instructions for you, and you are going to do as you are told. You are going to wait here until Nissel says you can get up. She said that when you wake, she has to change the poultice and bandage and give you medicine. You are going to stay here until she is finished. Understand? I don't want you getting sick and dying on me now, not after I have gone to all the trouble of saving you, and a great deal of trouble it was. I'll go to Wesselin so she can finish fitting my dress. When Nissel is finished with you, then," she shook a finger at him, "and only then, may you leave to go call Scarlet. When you are finished here with Nissel, and when you have called Scarlet and gotten our things together, come get me, and I will marry you."
She kissed the end of his nose.
"If you also promise to love me always."
"Always," he said with a grin. She rested her wrists on his shoulders, to each side of his strong neck, and clasped her fingers together behind his head.
"I'll wake Nissel and ask her to hurry with you. But please, Richard, don't waste any time after that. Call Scarlet quickly, quick as you can. I want to get away from here. I want to get away before Sister Verna even comes close. I don't want to take any chances, even if she isn't supposed to be back for a few days. I want us away from here, away from the Sisters of the Light. I want to get you to Zed so he can help you with the headaches before they get any worse."
He gave her a boyish, lopsided smile.
"What about your big bed in Aedendrill? Don't you want to get to that in a hurry, too?"
With a finger, she gently squashed his nose flat.
"I've never had anyone else in my big bed before. I hope I don't disappoint you."
He gripped her waist in his strong hands and pulled her to him hard enough to make her grunt. He pushed her hair back off her neck and gave it a tender kiss, right where Darkin Rawl's lips had been.
"Disappoint me. That, my love, is the only thing in the world it would be impossible for you to do."
He gave her neck one more tickling kiss.
"Now, go get Nissel. We are wasting time."
Kaelin pulled on the fabric, trying to bring it up as much as she could.
"I've never worn anything cut this low. You don't think it shows too much?"
Wesselin looked up from the floor where she was fussing with the hem of the blue dress. She took the fine bone needle from her mouth as she rose to appraise her client's fit. She studied the expanse of flesh a moment.
"You don't think he would like it?"
Kaelin felt her face flush.
"Well, I think he will. I hope so, but..."
Wesselin leaned a little closer.
"If you are worried about him seeing that much, maybe you had better reconsider this."
Kaelin lifted an eyebrow.
"He is not the only one who will be looking. I've never worn anything like this before. I'm worried that I don't do it justice."
Wesselin smiled and patted Kaelin's arm.
"You wear the dress well. It looks beautiful on you. It's perfect."
Kaelin still fretted as she glanced down at herself.
"Really? Are you sure? I fill it out properly?"
Wesselin's smile widened.
"Really? You have fine breasts. Everyone says so."
Kaelin felt her face redden. She was sure of the truth of the casual statement. Among the mud people, commenting favorably on a woman's breasts in public was no more odd than a man elsewhere telling a woman she had a pleasant smile.
It was an uninhibited attitude that more than once had caught her off guard. Kaylin held the skirt out to the sides.
"It's the most beautiful dress I've ever worn, Wesleyan. Thank you for all your hard work. I will treasure it always."
"Maybe someday, if you have a daughter, she will wear it when she weds."
Kaylin smiled and nodded.
"Please, dear spirit,"
she was thinking,
"if a child comes, let it be a daughter and not a son."
She reached up and touched the delicate necklace she wore, her fingers turning the small, round bone strung among a few red and yellow beads. Addy, the bone woman, had given her the necklace to protect her from the beasts that dwelt in the pass through the boundary that at the time had separated Westland from the Midlands. The old woman had told her it would help protect her child one day. Kaylin dearly loved the necklace. It was just like the one her mother had received from Addy and had in turn given to Kaylin. Kaylin had buried it with her closest childhood friend, Denis. Since Denis's death, she had missed her mother's necklace. This one was all the more special because the night before they had gone through the pass, Richard had added his oath to the necklace to protect any future child she might have. Neither she nor Richard had suspected at the time that there was any way that child might possibly be his.
"I hope so. Wesleyan, will you stand with me?"
"Stand with you?"
Kaylin pulled some of her hair self-consciously over her half-exposed chest.
"Where I come from, it is the custom to have a friend stand by you when you wed, to stand as a representative of the good spirits watching over the joining. Richard would like Savidlin to stand with him. I would like it if you stood by me."
"That seems a strange custom. The good spirits always watch over us."
"But if it is your custom, I would be honored to be the one who stands by you."
Kaylin beamed.
"Thank you.
Now stand up straight. I am almost finished."
Wesleyan again bent to her task at the hem. Kaylin tried to stand with her back straight. It hurt from sitting on the floor next to Richard the last half of the night. She wished she could sit or lie down, she was that sleepy, but mostly her back hurt. Suddenly, she wondered how much Denna was hurting right now.
"She didn't care," she told herself.
Whatever was happening to her would never be enough after what she had done to Richard. Her stomach lurched at the memory of what Denna had told her. Kaylin could still feel the place on her neck where Darkin Rawl had put his lips. A shiver ran up her spine at the memory. She remembered the mask of agony on Denna's face the instant before she disappeared. It didn't matter. She deserved it. It could have been Richard, though. If it hadn't been for Denna, it could have been Richard.
"Don't be afraid, Kaylin."
"What?"
She focused her eyes. Wesleyan was standing in front of her, smiling.
"I'm sorry. What did you say?"
Wesleyan reached out and wiped a tear from Kaylin's cheek.
"I said not to be afraid. Richard is a good man. You will have a happy life with him. It is natural to fear being wedded, but do not worry. It will be fine, you will see. I cried too before I wedded my Savidlin. I didn't think I would because I wanted him so, but I found myself crying, just like you."
She winked. "I never had reason to cry again.
Sometimes I find reason to complain, but never to cry."
Kaylin wiped the other cheek.
What was the matter with her? She didn't care what was happening to Denna. She didn't. Not one bit.
She nodded to Wesleyan and forced a smile.
"That would be my greatest hope in life. Never to cry again."
Wesleyan gave her a comforting hug.
"Would you like something to eat?"
"No, I'm not."
Savidlin burst through the door. He was sweating and panting. Kaylin went cold with fright at the look on his face. She started shaking even before his words came.
"When Nissel finished with Richard, I went with him to the spirit house, like you told me to, so he could call the dragon. The Sister of the Light came for him. She is there with him. I didn't understand his words, but I knew their meaning, and your name. He wanted me to come for you. Hurry!"
"No!"
Kaylin wailed as she shot past him and out through the doorway. As she ran, she held the hem of her dress up in her fists so she wouldn't trip on it. She had never run so fast. Her breath couldn't keep pace as she raced down the narrow passageways. Her hair streamed behind her as she ran. The winter air was frigid on her skin. The sound of Savidlin running behind her faded away. She couldn't form a thought except that she must get to Richard.
This couldn't be happening. It was too soon. The sister shouldn't be here. The two of them were leaving, almost gone. It wasn't fair at all. Richard!
Big white snowflakes drifted down, not enough to turn the ground white, but enough to bring an icy foreboding of the winter that was coming, the winter that was here. The wet flakes melted instantly as they touched her hot skin. Some caught in her lashes until she blinked them away. A light breeze curled around a corner, swirling into a white curtain. Kaylin flew through it and down a passageway. She skidded to a stop and looked around. It was the wrong way. She ran back and took the correct turn. Tears ran down her face with the melted snowflakes. It was too much. It couldn't be. Panting and desperate, she broke from the buildings into the clearing around the spirit house. The sisters' horses were tethered on the other side of the short wall, the wall with the gash through it from when Richard had tried to kill the Skreeling. People were standing around, but she didn't see them. Everything except the door to the spirit house grayed in her vision. She ran desperately for it. It took forever, as if she were running in a dream and couldn't make any headway. Her legs ached with the strain, her hand stretched for the latch, her heart pounded in her ears. "Please, dear spirits," she begged, "don't let me be too late." Grunting through gritted teeth, she yanked the door open and threw herself through. Kaylin jerked to a halt. She gulped air. Richard stood before Sister Verna, beneath the hole ripped through the roof by the lightning. The two of them stood in a shaft of gray light, in the gently drifting snowflakes floating down. The rest of the room dimmed into darkness around them. At his hip, Richard's sword glinted in the light. He didn't have the tooth, or whistle, or a geel around his neck. He hadn't had time to call Scarlet yet. In one hand, Sister Verna was holding the collar out to him. Her gaze went to Kaylin in silent warning for a moment, and then slid back to Richard.